JET Mobile listening.
JET, this is N0TR, November 0 Tango Romeo. My name is Tom, and I'm located in Greer. And Shane said to introduce myself to you. Do you like airplanes too? He was making a phone call.
Talk before Tom, maybe on a former call sign, yeah, you sound different. Did you change your radio or microphone? Because you don't have the voluptuous tone that you normally have. Don't take that the wrong way.
Yeah, well, I was born with that, but, oh, I don't know. I'm 76 now, and I'm hoarse a lot. And I'm just sitting there eating a piece of custard pie I just finished up, and ginger ale I'm drinking now. But I don't know what makes me hoarse so often, but it does. And the wife's sitting over there watching Gunsmoke.
Classic. Yeah, you know, the stuff that your lovely wife makes for you. So I'm well aware that you're well fed. That being said, take care of that throat. Don't wanna lose your voice altogether.
I haven't said anything about it to the doctors yet, but gotta get Bernice a new hip here this month, so maybe later on in the new year I'll say something about it. But it's not worrisome yet anyways. But what are you out there doing something for a living tonight?
Doing something for a living. I'm on my way home now. Off for a few days. Just came in to GSC from Atlanta.
Are you a pilot?
I am. And 38 years and counting.
Wow. Just got a text from my nephew there yesterday. He flies 787s for American. What do you fly?
Normally, I fly the regional jet for Delta down there, the CRJ-900, because I have really good seniority on it, so that's what it's kind of all about when you're doing it for your last couple of years.
Or what, 70 passengers or something like that?
Something configured to 76, so close, yeah. They build them for 90, so there's... You know, they change the seating arrangement and they make them at 76.
I got a text from Steve this morning, and he's the pilot, and one of our three boy nephews, and he lives in Dallas part of the time, and he just bought a home in Colorado, 37 acres, matter of fact, at 8,000 feet. But anyways, the other nephew is a drug company type guy. He was CEO of a drug company for years. And he's getting four different companies through phase 1, 2, and 3 of the FDA right now. So he's all over the world all the time. But I guess he was talking to Steve and said, I got a ferry, an empty 787, that's a $300 million aircraft, from New York down to Dallas. And that's where Mike, my nephew up in Boston, that's where his wife's sister lives. So anyways, being a family and all, it don't cost him anything. And there ain't no standby on this flight because there ain't anybody else on it. And they sent me a text just so I'd eat my heart out, and they were staying in the TWA hotel there in New York. That's cruel.
Cool place. They got a nice museum in there. And, you know, the nostalgia is what makes it. I don't know if it's the most comfortable place that's out there, but it's pretty nostalgic, so it feels kind of cool. It reminds me of Pan Am too, which was very big in JFK back in the day. So yeah, that's kind of cool. That's a good deal.
Is that okay?
There, Shane. Yeah, he sent me a picture. I assumed it was a museum when he sent me a picture of a Super Connie. Steve. I said, there's one of those at downtown airport in Kansas City. And we've been in it and through it. And of course, it's out of commission now. But the Navy used to fly them. And when I was going to school there in Jacksonville, they'd take off on that runway next to our barracks and across the field. And boy, you'd hear those R-4800s, I think they were, with water injection taking off. And they'd go out and fly into the hurricanes. And they also sort of did what the AWACS planes do nowadays. They had a huge radar in the belly and carried 28 crew members. I remember them well. That was back in the 60s. Well, go ahead, Shane. This is 02.
Just going to let you gentlemen know I've got fuel, and I'm about 2 minutes. I'm going to pull over at my daughter's and grab the dog and take her home. So I'll be back in just a few minutes. But I'm glad you guys are talking. Matthew, Tom, as you'll figure out, likes airplanes. And you could probably talk about that a little bit. So both of you are good gentlemen. I enjoy talking to both of you. I'll be back in a few minutes. N4ZL catch.
Give me a yell when you do. No problem. And, I know Tom likes airplanes. I've heard him talk about them, and I think we've talked about them before, too. And Super Constellation, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a great airplane. It's beautiful. It's so unique looking, and it does have a great history. Too bad it got replaced by turbojets pretty quick. Didn't have a longer lifespan. There'd be more of them around.
Send me a picture of the steam gauges and that in the cockpit, and it's got a plaque in there and said it's out of commission. It broke some rule or something, kind of a joke. But I think they carried, I'm sure they would have, a flight engineer and then pilot, co-pilot. But brings back a lot of memories. I went through S2DNE Grumman Electrical and Instrument School and learned to work on those steam gauges. We called them analog back then.
I remember them well. I got a bit of time in the DC-3 myself, and everything was pretty, it was kind of impressive in the DC-3, in all those older airplanes was the avionics. You know, they were big radios. They were tubes, but they worked, and they worked well for the most part, as long as the generators stayed online because they drew a lot of amps.
Tonight, my brain slipped a notch. The DC-3 is the two-engine one was used in England when they dropped the parachutists into France over there, right?
Correct. Otherwise known as the C-43. And, there was about 11,000 of them made. That's why they're still, you still see a lot of them today, actually. Many of which have been converted to turbine engines, which is a wonderful conversion. It's really extended the life of them forever. Some still with the radio engines on them in places, but they're getting harder and harder to find. But it was a great airplane nonetheless.
Yeah, the other designation was RD-4, I'm pretty sure. And I used to fly from San Diego, North Island. I'd catch the mail plane, and we would fly up to Alameda. My brother was also in the Navy, and I'd go up there, and his wife and kids would pick me up at the airport, and I'd go visit with my brother and have supper with him and that. And then come back the next day. That was a long flight. I didn't realize California was so long until I started flying that.
I think there was advertisements for cross-country and cross-country flights in 3 days back in the day. If I recall seeing some of the old marketing material, that they have saved in the museums or whatnot, but it was same day service, but it took you a bit, that's for sure.
She had Ozark Airlines flew the C-47, RD-4, DC-3, whatever you want to call it, into Pittsburgh, Kansas at Atkinson Municipal Airport. And I can't remember if Bernice, when we got married, if she flew that to Kansas City and then took a 707 out to San Francisco. Me and my brother picked her up there in Mountain View, California.
Now that's pretty cool. Yeah, it had a great track record. It really did. It was a lot of fun to fly too. I flew passengers on it back in the day for it was Eastern, part of Eastern Airlines network, and we did a lot of Cape Cod and the islands up there in the Northeast in the summertime, and we migrated the airplanes down to Key West and the Keys, Southern Florida, and the Bahamas in the wintertime. People would book flights when they booked on Eastern Airlines. They would specifically request flying on those airplanes because they wanted to, well, most of them were, you know, World War II veterans that wanted to fly on it again. I was always honored to be able to do that and give them a tour.
The military versions were a bit more noisy. I didn't mind, though. The S-2 I flew in had, they were 1825 cubic inch, 9-cylinder, or 18-cylinder radios, I think they were. Anyways, they, I don't know if they double stacked or not, and they were 1,525 horsepower. My porthole was right next to the engine nacelle. I sat right behind the pilot, or sat right behind the co-pilot when I was flying in the S2 D&Es. And we wore full helmets, so it really helped a lot.
JET for ID, there was no insulation in those. The passenger ones, at least they put some paneling up and some insulation in there for the airlines. So that made it a little bit better, and a little bit warmer, too.
You, Matthew, you really flew some beautiful airplanes. That was a tail dragger, and I think it flew all right when you had to feather one out, didn't it? The S2 did.
Provided you weren't too heavy and it wasn't too hot out, it was great. But it wasn't overly powered, I could tell you that. It was sufficiently powered, but it wasn't like the old Rockwell, the Convairs that had a lot of extra power on each side. Those were nice, too.
I remember one day we was out between San Clemente and Santa Catalina, and Captain Beck was flying, and we had to go up to a certain altitude, and I believe it was 2,500 feet. And he hadn't told me what he was going to do. And he feathered, I believe it was the left engine, and you had to kick on a rudder assist, which kicked you from 1,500 pounds to 3,000 pounds back there, and on the rudder, and so you kind of had some skid there on your axis. And he looked back at me and held both hands out looking at me. He says, "Look, Ralph, no hands." I said, "Captain Beck, get your hands back on that yoke." And they would practice that. They'd feather one engine.
Didn't have simulators back then, so they had to do it that way. And did a lot of in-flight, you know, in-aircraft training back in those days. And you always had to be a little bit extra careful to make sure you were doing it the right way, because you didn't want to, of course, create your own emergency, if you know what I mean.
We blew a stack off one time on the left engine, and we was the last one in the Delta pattern to land on the carrier, and it was, how much fire come out of those things, and it was going down on the prop feathering pump. And he said, "Emergency, emergency, emergency me. Get me the hell down from here." He never swore, and boy, he did then. And pardon my friends, but he tipped her up pretty steep, I don't know, probably 45 degrees or so, and he brought her in. We caught the fourth wire, and we got out of that plane pretty quick. And the next day, when I went to the ready room, the flight surgeon walked over, and Beck and Jeffries were standing there, and the other crew member, and they had a little jigger in their hand, and he poured me one, and it was brandy. He said, "Drink that, Ralph." "No, I'm not a drinker." "Oh, wow, that's warm." He said, "You had 90 seconds to live yesterday." "I didn't know it was that bad. You didn't smell nothing inside."
And if, you know, if a fire gets going and those things, the last thing is you want to be is inside of one, and you want to be out of it as soon as you can, because the smoke, and especially if it's nighttime and weather, that's when it can get scary.
He looked back at me, and he says, "Rouse, is that electrician screw up?" When there's two fire lights up front there, you know, on the main panel, and I looked up there, and the left one was on, and should I take that for granted, or is that an electrician screw up? And I said, "Them thermocouples, Captain." I said, "You better take them seriously." And they said it was a really bad situation. But he didn't waste any time. But if you feathered an engine, you could land. But if you bolted and missed the four wires, you would crash into the water, because I've seen movies of that they showed us. And we caught the fourth wire, and who knows what happened if we'd had to go back around, you know.
Even today, single engine go arounds are a lot of work, no doubt about it. Your hands are full doing them. It doesn't matter. You know, the airplane just not designed to operate, you know, optimally that way, and it makes a lot of work. But, well, you survived. That's what matters. And you know what? I'm pulling up to my QTH, Tom. Good talking to you tonight. We'll catch up with you again, I'm sure. Take care of that throat, of course. And we'll catch you during the week or something sometime. But good talking to you. Enjoyed it. And 0TRWW4JET and N4ZLK Shane. If you're listening, have a good night, man, and we'll catch up with you too.
Okay, man, it's been a pleasure. I did that on I was flying in a paraglider in the back seat, and it bolted like that. And when he done that, I just naturally hollered out in the mic. I said, "Bolter, bolter." He said, "What the heck's a bolter?" But you know that thing had power enough with two of us in it. When it went up in the air about 4 to 6 feet, he just gunned it and made a go around and come back. And that rather surprised me. Anyways, looking forward to talking to you again, Matthew. WW4JET and 0TR73.
Matthew, goodness, you get home a lot quicker than that feels like it takes me to get home.
Just any time, you know how it is, like the horse going back to the barn.
And have a great weekend. Hello to the missus and the rest of the family, and we'll talk to you again. I want to talk to you about DC-3 sometime. My sister was a DC-3 captain for a while. I guess she still is. But anyway, we'll talk about that sometime.
Hi, gentlemen.
From American, he's 60 years old and 34 years with him. Matthew, take care. And Shane, did you hear me tell him what my nephew Mike got to do yesterday?
A bit of it there, or the first part of your last transmission. I heard something, I didn't catch it, something about moving an air or ferrying an airplane, but I didn't catch which one.
It's 787, 8s and 9s is the newest one. And he went up to ferry, he deadheaded up to New York to ferry a brand new plane back down to Dallas. And he called my nephew Mike and asked if he wanted to visit his wife's sister down there in Dallas. I don't know if Mike's wife went with him or not, but they're brothers. And brothers and sisters and all that fly on standby if they want to, anytime for nothing. So Mike flew to New York right quick, and he's getting to help ferry a $300 million 787 down to Dallas yesterday. with no one on it.
Well, I'd make him sit there and put his seatbelt on, or if he'd walk around the plane if he'd mess up the weight ratio. Now, there had to have been another co-pilot, right?
Yeah. I flew out of Joplin, Missouri once when I was working. They'd send me out as a field engineer, and I'm not an engineer. But I can't remember where I was going, but I went to St. Louis to the big hub, you know, to catch a big flight. And I got on the plane there. It was a little turboprop. And the co-pilot come back and says, "Tom, you need to move back to just over the wing there on the left side of the aircraft." And I said, "What for?" And I was the only one on it. And he said, "Weight and balance." That didn't make you feel warm and fuzzy all over. But he actually did that. Now, I'm sure on that 787 that wouldn't come into play. And as soon as we got off the ground and got up, they never went over 10 or 12,000 feet just to fly that 250-mile flight over St. Louis. He opened the curtain up to the cockpit, and he leaned back, and he says, "Tom," he says, did you ever been in the military?" And I said, "Yeah, Navy." He said, "Well, I was in the Marine Corps." He says, "Come on up front and get the grand tour." I got to ride in the cockpit all the way to we was getting to make the approach in St. Louis. I don't think they do that anymore.
There's many curtains left, and especially on the bigger airplanes. But and also if you can upset the balance on a 787, you got bigger issues, right?
Yeah, I think they carry somewhere between 35,000 and 50,000 gallons of fuel somewhere in that area.
Said, was it your nephew that flies for American?
Yes, he does. He's been with them 34 years.
Started with them back in 90 as a flight attendant, 90 or 92. So she worked there with American more than 15 years. But it's possible she might have run into him.
I bet. He married an airline, I call them stewardesses, flight attendants nowadays, from Germany, and they're very happy. She just had a heart transplant and doing just fine. She got a horse ranch down in Dallas, and Steve, he had a home in Colorado. I can't remember the name of the town there, but pretty good sized town. But he just bought another farm out in I know it's at 8,000 feet. I can't remember the name of the town. I got it written down. And he bought 37 acres there. But I'm sure she probably still goes back to Dallas in the wintertime. I don't think she'd want to stay up there in the snow.
1,000 feet in Colorado, I'll bet it's pretty chilly in the wintertime. So ask your nephew next time you talk to him if he knows anything about the flagship Detroit. I think that's what it's called. It was American's their very first DC-3 that they flew as a commercial airliner back when they started up.
I'll ask him. I bet he does. He loves to fly. He told me the other day one of the co-pilots was a friend of his, and I think he said he was a Marine Corps, and he talked him into go skydiving. He says, "That's the most fun I ever had in my life, Tom."
My son did that when he turned 18. We went and watched him. It was a little nerve-wracking. I don't know. I guess I would do it. My wife says she wants to do it, but I've never really been interested in jumping out. But maybe one day. But back to that flagship Detroit. I'm pretty sure I got that right. They call it flagship something. I think it is Detroit. When they first, when they found, whatever they did to recondition that airplane, they painted it with the original American Airlines colors or whatever. They didn't have anybody to fly it because nobody was qualified. And my sister was still a flight attendant then, but she also was a DC-3 captain at that point because she was flying on the side and flying anything she could and worked for a freight company out of Tennessee. also while she was a flight attendant. So she was able to fly that around a couple places. I think I'm pretty sure that she flew it into Oshkosh one of the first years that they, you know, had gotten it back in reconditioned and were showing it around. But she was trying to get on as the pilot to fly it around, but she said there's too many retired American airline pilots that would have a lot more pull in getting that. They just had to get qualified.
Not many years ago, I read where there was still a lot of businesses that had those things either retrofitted to turboprop or as is, and had them, you know, new leather and everything done in the seats and that, and they were still flying those things. They're a real workhorse. The mail plane I flew in there from San Diego to Alameda was noisy. And, well, it was just rigged just the same as the ones that flew into Omaha Beach. So I look back on it now, and it was a privilege just to fly on it. The only bad situation I had is when we were getting ready to go to Vietnam, they put an out-of-bounds 500 miles, and I think Alameda, I'm sure it was beyond that point. And I flew up there all right that weekend. My brother's wife and kids picked me up. I visited, and the next day, or 2 days later, I think it was, I come back, and when I got, she dropped me off at the airport, and there was a ensign waiting there to check the passengers as they got on, which I was the only one, I think. And he asked me if I had an out-of-bounds chit, and I thought, oh. I said, no. He said, well, you can't get on that plane. He says, I'm responsible for your life. And I said, oh, my. I said, I've never been AWOL in my life, never been disciplined, in my life in the Navy. And I said, please, please let me on. I said, I'm on night check this evening. And this was in the morning, I guess. And he says, hey, what I'm going to do, Ralph? He said, I'll let you on that plane. He says, if I ever see your face up here again without an out-of-bounds jet, he says, you're not going to get on that plane. And I never forgot that.
Where's that LK? Yeah, I'll bet not. So tell me what an out-of-bounds kit is again.
The thing in the Navy you needed a chit for, C-H-I-T. I mean, the guys that joke about you need a chit to go to the head, which was the restroom. But you did. You had to get a chit, and it was just a old kind of like a pass, you know. And I didn't have one. And when I was in school in Jacksonville, a lot of the guys took out one weekend. They wanted me to go to Miami. That's a big state, long, and it was out of bounds. And the school command is just like boot camp. You make one little mistake, and they'll kick you out. And I didn't want to take that chance, and I wouldn't go. They made it all right. It was in an old 57 Chevy. You just didn't know whether you would or not. But they went illegally and then come back for muster on Monday. But I think that was 750 miles or something. I don't know. It's a long ways from Jacksonville.
Jacksonville to Miami, that is a long kit. I got you now, chit, C-H-I-T, okay. So, yeah, you got to have a pass. Just, especially, well, I don't know. I won't say that. But, yeah, that was nice of him to let you go that one time.
Right. And I was an E-5, which is the same as a sergeant in the Army, and I'd lost a stripe sure as heck. And it took me a long time to earn that, and it was hard to earn, and I didn't want to do that, and I didn't want to get in trouble. If you got in trouble, you had to go to a captain's match. That was the lowest non-judicial punishment. I never had one of those, and I didn't want one either.
Probably a good idea to stay away from those. back to the DC-3s, when you remember when the BP oil rig whatever happened that had that big leak, the explosion or the fire or whatever it was, and all that oil was floating out there in the Gulf. There was the company that was spraying chemicals, whatever chemicals they are that supposedly eats up the oil. They were using DC-3s because my sister got a call to go down there. They were looking all over the country for DC-3 captains.
For her to fly those that American Airlines flagship like that, I'll tell you, not everybody gets to do that. Steve really liked him. He worked for him 3 months, and he flew the C-130s and the Air National Guard out of St. Joseph. And they called them up and sent him to the first war in Iraq, and he had to go over there for, oh, I don't know. The war only lasted 100 hours, but he was over there quite a little while.
In the military?
Head pilot on the, I forget what they call him, command pilot on the C-130s. And I don't know what all they hauled. He wasn't on the Spectre, which is the gunship. He was just on a standard C-130. But that was when he went to work in 1991. So he went to work about the same time your sister did.
In the high school, she graduated in 90 and then went right into, I think, the end of the summer, went to their flight attendant training camp or whatever they call it out there in Dallas.
She had to retire too then, hadn't she?
What's in with JetBlue now? I don't know that she's going to retire within the next couple of years. I guess she'll probably go when they make them go.
Steve told me he had 2 years left to go, and he just made captain here this year. And I get a chance to send a picture of him. Maybe your sister does know him. It's hard to get him to get a picture. I mean, he's a real quiet type of guy. And very, very serious when he flies. Yeah, I know he flew me over to St. Louis one time he could rent one from the Beechcraft Club because his mom worked, Bernice's sister worked at Beechcraft. And he could get a brand new Beechcraft A100 with a glass cockpit for $34 an hour. So Dad and I went together, and my brother got a cheap flight from Washington, D.C. into St. Louis, and he flew me over there to pick him up. And as we was coming back, the ceiling got down, oh, I don't know, 5,000 feet or something like that, and I said, I was just testing him. I said, Steve, why don't you just go on up above that? And then nobody will ever know. And there wasn't no way in heck he was ever going to go above that in the IFR. Although he was rated. I don't think he was. He was VFR rated. But you weren't going to get him to break the rules, I guarantee you that.
You don't get many chances to break rules when you're doing something like that. So you want to make sure you keep your record clean. What's his last name? But maybe if I talk to my sister, she may. Now, I don't know how long she's been gone from American. It's been a few years. Because she, I'm trying to remember. She flew Air Ambulance out of in Knoxville, I think, for a while. In the King Airs. This is all while she was working on, you know, getting her hours. She ended up going to school, too, at the same time, doing an online aviation course. And right after she graduated, that's right when the BP oil thing happened, and they called her. And she flew, the guy that she flew the DC-3s for, he had a freight company. They're still in contact. In fact, he was just out here not long ago. He rode his motorcycle out from Iowa. He's moved to Iowa, I think, when she got married, and a few years ago. She got married here up at Pretty Place. And he rode his motorcycle all the way out here for the wedding.
Something. Well, I'll tell you what, that King Air, wow, that's as far uptown as you can get. That's a beautiful plane. There was a group of people come in from our company out at the airport one day, and I went out and was talking to them. And I said, well, the four-engine turboprop I flew in, it had a servicing of like, oh, I think it was 24,000. Not all that high. And I said, so is that about what that King Air is rated for? He said, oh, no, he said, it's rated for 40,000 feet. I was amazed, you know, the turboprop, of course, it's a jet. But wow, the interior of that thing was gorgeous.
Sure it was, N4ZLK. I don't know what, you know, what the one she flew, they had it decked out to hold a gurney and all that. Probably not as nicely laid out as some of the business models are, but anyway. Well, let's see. Yeah, so she got hired on by JetBlue after, you know, slowly working her way up, and about 3 years ago, I think, she made captain, so she's enjoying herself.
Got out of high school, I'd ride 165 miles to Wichita and stay out there for a week. And three of us guys went out there, and two of them got on with Boeing. They'd taken shop class, and I hadn't in high school, and so they got on quicker than I did, and I went to work for Learjet there, and that was on the Model 24 Lears, and bucking rivets on the wings and the intercostals and that. And I'll never forget the interior of those things. I mean, I think the Shah of Iran had one, Danny Kaye, Bob Cummings. There was a little suction cup and a flag on top of each one of them. It told you who owned that particular jet that was being put together. Boy, it reminded me of the old Dodge commercials about the fine Corinthian leather. I guess that's what that must have been in them. They're really nice.
To know what somebody like Danny Kaye paid for one of those and how much difference in cost they are now.
They were $690,000, and I don't know. I can't remember now what they are, Shane, but probably more like $6 million.
Yeah, almost affordable to the average guy at that price,
$690,000. Yep, 1966. I just got out of high school. Before I joined the service, I thought, well, you're going to get drafted or, you know, whatever. But I thought, well, I can work up till then anyways, and so that's what I did.
Sounds like you've worked at a lot of different places and enjoyed most of it. I don't know if you've enjoyed everything, but you've had quite an experienced life there. And how was that custard pie, by the way? That looked like an experience.
Far uptown, you get. She made that. Would you make that pie today, Bernice? Honey? She got a new sewing machine. She's over there fooling around with it. She don't hear me. But I think she made it this morning because she made me some pie dough cinnamon rolls. And they're better when they set one day. They get more like stiff jello on the second day, and that's the way I like them.
Hi.
The pie, it stiffens up some when you leave them in the refrigerator overnight. And that one's been in the fridge all day, but it just wouldn't. You know, when you go to a buffet or something, how that red jello set up in those cubes, you know, that's the way I like them pies.
Good. I hope you enjoy it.
It was my ginger ale here. Well, how far along are you, Shane?
It's 10 minutes left, I guess. That's what surprised me about how fast Matthew got home when he said where he was. But I did stop for fuel, too, and probably stayed longer at my daughter's than I realized. My oldest son's wife was over there, too, so I talked to both the girls for a little bit.
Well, ask your daughter if she knows Steve Webb, just like it sounds like Spider Webb. And he was co-pilot for many, well, 34 years before he ever made captain. So he just was promoted this year. But he didn't want captain because you couldn't pitch your flights like he has all these years. and he was flying international. So I'm sure as a co-pilot he was doing good. And they rotate. I think it's every two landings the co-pilot lands and the pilot lands when they trade off and on. So they got to have so many hours a month at the wheel, you know.
My sister didn't go right in. Well, she delayed becoming a captain. Sounds like she had an opportunity a little bit quicker with JetBlue, but same reason. She said, if I go as a captain, I'm going to be down at the bottom of the seniority list, and we'll have to work all the holidays and weekends and get all the bad flights.
Shane?
Tell me you'll have to come get some pie.
Yeah, you'll have to come get some pie.
I'm not headed home. I'm coming to the house for some pie. It looked really good. I know Tommy will enjoy it. I'm sure you do, too. One day I'll have to get a slice from you.
Pumpkin pie is my other favorite. And my grandson down there, the younger one, one time the other grandmother brought pumpkin pie, and he just turned his nose up at it, and he leaned over to my daughter, and he says, I like Grandma Rouse's pumpkin pies better.
Gotta be better. I'm sure they are the best. Anyway, well, one day I'll be able to sample something from her fine bakery there. I've seen lots of pictures.
We're talking to Matthew there tonight, and I thought, well, I'll just slide down under your nose there with a picture. That's rotten.
I've been listening when I got that text not long after I started talking. And yeah, that was rotten.
Well, Shane, they haven't turned this over to Netmo yet, so I guess we better get off of here. But, gosh, it's been a pleasure with Matthew and you. He's really got a neat call there for a pilot, WW4JET. That's outstanding. I've talked to a few airliners, and most of them were freighters, of course. He told me one time they had HF radios on there, but it was used for the egg cars. They get, like, if you're flying here to Europe or something, that's the way they communicate back and forth. Is every so often they'll get a digital transmission to that thing, I guess. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right or not. But once they get out so far over the Atlantic, well, they're not in radar control, and they're also, they call that the aircraft defense zone, and they're not in that. And they're not in VHF or UHF communication, so the airplane, like with identification, friend or foe, sends a signal back to the United States saying, yeah, we're here, and ever so often, and they send messages to it the same way. But anyways, I better let you go, man. Good hearing you tonight. And you've earned your pay today. Thank you for keeping our Social Security up to date. Good night, Jay. N4ZLK and 0LTR.
Pleasure to keep your Social Security going. Don't want that cut off for you. All right, enjoyed it very much. Always enjoy talking to you and Bernice, and appreciate the ride-along. I will talk to you again. I'm not far. N0TR, N4ZLK.
I don't know if you got capability or not, but there's a 160-meter contest on tonight, and 99% of it is USA, but it is CW for the most part. A lot of the overseas ones gone to FT8 because it doesn't take much of a signal to pick that up. But there's just a plethora of stations on. And I kind of think you don't have 160, but I thought that I'd throw that out there to you. And 4ZLK and anybody else that's listening in 0TR73.
Foot infed that tunes up on 160. The SWR is very low. And I actually made a voice contact on it, but they said I was way down in the noise, and it probably would need a counterpoise for it to work properly. But I might tune down there and listen to it if I get a chance. I don't know. It's late, and I'm a little tired, but I'll check it out. 73N4ZLK.